Of course, this is just the same way those rocket ships landed thousands of years ago so spacemen could mate with monkeys and apes and create zombie takeout. Welcome to episode 239 of Zombie
Takeout,
the B-Movie and Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, we've got some listeners submitted, starting off with an email from Weston DeTillo in reference to last week's episode. I just found out about this when we first went on Skype and haven't read most of it yet, so this could be fun.
Yeah.
He said, I'm assuming Weston is a he. Hi guys, I believe this is the second year in a row where I found your April Fool's Day prank to be damn mean-spirited. Why do you hate your fans? We don't hate you. Hell, I've been listening to you guys for so long I feel like we're damn near friends. So then tell me, why do you treat your friends like this? I'd rather shoot myself in the groin than watch The Notebook, or listen to a couple of guys talk about it, even if it is you guys.
How do you think we felt? We had to sit through the whole 2 hours of it, man. You only had to sit through a half-hour episode.
45 minutes, eh?
Oh, it was?
Yeah, about that. I think you owe us a little something after that obscene display of... can't think of anything witty to type right now, but you get the point. Anyway, here's the deal. You may be able to redeem yourselves in the eyes of your fans by quickly reviewing the following movie, Wolf Cop. That does sound fun.
That sounds fucking awesome, tell you the truth.
Yeah. I just caught it on Netflix. Oh, good. So easily available. And I believe it meets both of the requirements for your podcasts, B and Cult. Definitely sounds that way.
Yeah.
I know I'm kind of cutting in line, but I think you guys might need this one. The Notebook? The first Star Trek? You're lucky to still be alive. Trust me, you need this one. I'm requesting Wolf Cop for your good and ours. Keep up the good work. P.S. Buffy and Congo were a couple of gems. If I had a rubber hose, I would beat you with it. Okay, well, first off, addressing the last part first. If you're talking about the episodes, thank you.
Yes. I'm going to assume he's talking about the episodes.
Let's just assume that, because if you're talking about the movies, especially Congo. Now, okay, why do we hate our fans?
It's now, just April Fools. It's in good fun.
Well, first off, well, going back to last year, I think that was our funniest episode of all time.
It could very
well
be. I
think that's the funniest podcast we've done over both shows.
Really?
I honestly think so, yeah. Go back and listen to it.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't know.
Divine Absurdity is close, but I think the Beaches review tops it.
Labyrinth of Greed was really, really strong.
Oh, yeah, true, true. If you don't know, we're talking about the Tuesday afternoon show. There's a link on the site, TAS question mark. Click that if you're curious.
Do those still exist? I think I should go back and listen to some.
Oh, yeah, they're all still up there. All 42.
Nice.
And including the I think the short that I did, Cloverfield parody short that I did is up there, too.
Nice.
Now, with regard to this year's April Fool's Day prank, we pranked ourselves, as we pointed out. That was way worse for us than it was for you guys. I mean...
Yeah... I don't know what the hell we were thinking about this year.
Yeah, it was just a bad idea.
He must not stay after the closing music.
Maybe that's it. after the end of the episode, after the closing music ends, there is always an outtake of some sort. Usually it's a you know, mistake or something that got cut out of the episode that I thought was particularly funny.
Or sometimes there's a little extra. And of course, on the April Fool's episode,
that's where we reveal that it's an April Fool's Day gag. You know, if you don't listen to that, you don't know what we're doing. But he did call it an April Fool's Day prank, so maybe he did hear that.
Well, of course it's an April Fool's Day prank. I mean, why would we review The Notebook or
true,
Beaches?
True.
And that was kind of the thing. We had already done Beaches last year, but didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then people were like, oh, they're just going to do the same thing again. They're just going to probably either switch in another movie or something
like
that.
Make something up like we did last year.
Well, because, yeah, the other time we did was the whole big bus thing. And one first year, we said we were going to do the big bus, but we really didn't.
Oh, right, yeah.
We had Roberto
right
doing April Fool's
Roberto
Day instead.
Barb, yeah.
unannounced.
And we did Trailer Clash, right? I
And
forgot we teased the big bus with that one.
oh yes, we did. We teased the hell out of it for like a month. And then the second one, we were implying that it was our last episode.
Right.
Hee hee, funny, you know. And then, of course, Ron and Fez completely clobbered that this year.
Yeah.
Burned the barn down.
I think I buy it. I think it is their last. I don't know. I'm back and forth. Because we
so,
were
for
talking...
the, yes, for those of you not in the know, Ron and Fez on Sirius XM, they announced on April Fool's Day that it was, in fact, their last episode. And I'm sitting here thinking, we did this fucking bit
yeah.
3 years ago. Of course, by the end of the episode, we said April Fool's and tapped out. It's now been a week, and they are doing like a, you know, review, you know, best of kind of thing while they're on vacation. Pretty much still saying that it's the end.
Yeah.
And nobody's saying what is going to be on in that time slot this coming Monday still.
And when we first talked about this, I was convinced it was a gag because they were overselling it. Now I'm wondering.
Yeah, I'm at first I was all work and now I'm pretty much in the 75% sure that it is really it.
Mm-hmm.
They've like he like changed where he's from in ads.
Wow. Okay.
He's now not with the Ron and Fez show. He's now of Sirius XM, comedy Raw Dog or whatever
yeah.
channel the fuck it on now.
But anyway, back to the email. We will definitely review Wolf Cop, particularly if it's on Netflix and we don't have to hunt it down.
Maybe we'll do it before Wrath of Khan.
Perhaps. We'll see. We've got a request run coming up, I think, just after this episode.
Yeah.
And
people
so we'll
have
work
been
it
waiting.
In there.
Yeah, we have three requests right after this one. People have been waiting a long time
yeah.
on some of these. And I really want to get to Cabin in the Woods, goddammit. I have not watched this movie because of this show.
I did watch it, and it's... I have a hard and fast rule with the show. No movies with giant spiders. I'm breaking that rule for this one.
I would have watched this, what was that, years ago now?
A couple years, yeah.
Yeah.
It
I
was around the time,
this,
same time as The Avengers.
I would have seen this a long time ago, but no. I'm like, I'm going to wait for the show. So yeah, we got to get to Cabin in the Woods next week.
So we've got one more bit of listener submitted. This is from Danny Meeks in reference to the trailer for this week's movie. He said, "This is the best version, creepiest too. The part with the dog, dot, dot, dot." We'll get to the dog in due time.
Yes.
Of course, that brings us to this week's movie, which is from 1978, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Priests on Swing Sets. Nothing says creepy like a random shot of a priest on a swing set. Try one in your next horror film.
And I think he likes the smell of napalm in the morning, too. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I believe so. Something about leaving a cannoli, too, I think.
And also brought to you by Jeff Goldblum, the anti-Gosling. All right, so we see some plants traveling through space.
Well, no, they're not plants at that point. They're just kind of gel things.
Okay. Plants, gel things. Anyway,
well, they don't become plants till they land on Earth and assimilate with the plants.
Oh, okay. So they land on the planet, they assimilate with the plants. They make very short order work of pretty much taking the entire planet over by replicating humans and then replicating more humans and their friends and so on.
They told two friends and yeah.
Wow, that is a really dated reference. But anyway.
<It is>. If you're under 40, ask your parents.
I don't know where the fuck I even pulled that from. But anyway, we have our couple of holdouts. We've got, of course, who else would you want? But I can't remember his character's name from Independence Day. But Jeff Goldblum, who you know made his career fighting aliens and defending the planet Earth. We've got Hawkeye, and we've got Spock. We've got Jeff Goldblum's girlfriend, and who I thought was Margot Kidder at first,
uh-huh.
but Hawkeye's not girlfriend.
Brooke Adams, who has done quite a bit, but I
Yes,
can't
she
think of anything
has.
in particular.
She has done a lot of work in just about you name it, just like Donald Sutherland too, though. I mean, so they unravel this mystery very quickly, almost as quickly as these aliens invade the planet. They figure out, oh, it's the plants that did this, and then, oh, it's the people that aren't here, you know, it, they're not quite the same. There really isn't much of a plot to this movie
No,
either,
no.
but
The plants take over the human race. You've got this small group of people trying to fight them.
yeah, hilarity
It's
ensues.
basically a zombie movie.
Yeah.
Except the zombies are intelligent and organized.
Yeah, you know, I guess we could start off with this device that they use, of course, is that they replicate humans. And they go on that way. Wouldn't mind control be a lot more frightening than a replicant?
Yeah. My issue with it is, okay, if they have this ability to mimic whatever they touch, why are they sticking to the plants for one thing? Because that just happened to be the first thing they came in contact with when they got to Earth. They were this kind of clear gel before that. So they're sticking to the plants for their growth process, and they mimic humans and in one case a dog, as Danny mentioned. But why do they stick to the plants for reproduction? I don't understand that. Also, if they're not using the mimicking ability on their homeworld, how did it develop? Because on the homeworld, they're just these clear gel things. How did they develop this ability if they aren't using it to survive on their homeworld?
Good
Granted, maybe
point.
their homeworld was so destroyed that they couldn't use it anymore. I'm just
And they
trying to
just
come up with something.
they need to go to someplace else to use resources up
Yeah.
and crash and burn.
Now, also, knowing their origin, because they start the movie with the trip from their planet to Earth,
Yeah.
which is a little tedious. And I like
Yes.
origin stories as a general rule.
Really?
Yeah, as a rule, I kind of like to know what the backstory is, but in this case, it really took away from the horror. Jeffrey was the first victim's name. If he just suddenly changed for no reason that we were aware of, and we had to piece it together like they did,
Oh yeah.
that would have been a much stronger movie.
Oh, you are definitely right, 'cause that is the real, I think, main problem of this film is that it does take a long time to develop. Now, of course, they go through everything so quickly, you know, from, you know, gel to conquerors of the planet, and our heroes go from clueless to piecing it all together. In a ridiculously short amount of time. It really all happens in like, what, a day or two?
Something like that, yeah.
All the action.
And speaking of it dragging a bit, there's no dialogue in the first 5 minutes.
No.
It is 5 minutes and I checked before anyone says a word. And that's an extra with a group of kids who has a line. I didn't even count the first time, someone had someone one of the names had a line.
Yeah, you kind of think the plot is really the action is going to take place there. And they sort of just move off from that schoolyard.
Brooke Adams' character, I'm blanking, Elizabeth, that's it, brings this plant home, this flower that she can't identify, so she's bringing it home.
What's the worst that could happen?
Exactly. And then, her husband changes. And you all know, even if you haven't seen the movie, I haven't seen more than a few bits and pieces of any of the Body Snatchers movies before watching this today. I still knew the gag, it's the pod people.
But right,
Who are you? What have you done with whoever?
I think I saw some of this as a kid. I don't know if I made it through the entire thing though, because it was kind of like, where are the aliens?
I saw clips of the 92 version because I had a thing for Gabrielle Anwar, who's in it, and she does a bath scene.
I didn't know there was another version, a more recent version. I mean, I know there was something.
93, I'm sorry.
I
Called
know there
Body
was
Snatchers.
something in the 2000s called Invasion loosely.
The invasion was, well, we'll get to that in listener submitted, yeah, but there's
Yeah.
been two since this one.
Okay. And of course, this is a remake of a 50s movie.
56, I believe, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I gotta say, some of the effects are very nicely done. Particularly
Oh,
when it first lands and takes over the plant, you see these little tendrils coming out that are, impersonating the veins on the leaf.
this
Really nice
was
effect. And it had to be digital, which, or you know, not digital because this is 78, but
right.
kind of, I guess, painted on,
We
maybe.
know what 70s digital effects look
Oh,
like.
that's true. This is a year
Oh,
before what we
that
did. Yeah,
motion
but
picture.
this is before a year before that. Yeah. So I guess that was drawn on the cells, maybe on the frames. But that looked really beautiful.
Well, this is an effects movie.
Yeah,
I
the
mean,
pods were okay. They were a little iffy. I guess really good for 78.
the star of the show is Mr. Ben Burtt.
Yes. The sound effects are damn impressive in this movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
At first, I was kind of like, that's a little annoying. And then I realized, oh, yeah, that's where he's going for it.
Although I gotta say, the soundtrack, a little reminiscent of Zardoz and Clockwork. A lot of analog synths. One of the sponsors I came up with initially was Analog Synths, because it really tends to draw comparisons to Clockwork,
Right.
which is not a comparison you want if you're a science fiction movie, because nothing is Clockwork.
Well, Clockwork isn't really a sci-fi film, really.
Yeah, true, true. But yeah, it's so iconic, you kind of don't want to draw comparisons to it.
Really, the soundtrack, though, it's supposed to be agitating in
Oh,
itself.
yeah, and it is, it is.
And somebody pointed out how it goes from the sounds go from natural sounds to mechanical sounds. And it just really drives home the theme of the movie. I have a feeling the 50s version was a parable of communism, right?
Yes.
I don't think I've ever seen the 50s version.
Nor have I.
I've seen this version. But this one, it I think is clearly about advancement in technology, and losing our humanity that way.
Speaking of advancing in technology, and again, another note about the soundtrack, and just in general in science fiction, you run into a problem when you use kind of the newest technology, kind of
What
the cutting edge stuff. Like in this, or in the Tron or Star Trek, where they used cutting edge, new CG, and in the prequels, where he used the latest in green screens, because that stuff always tends to date the movie. I hear this kind of soundtrack, I know it's 70s.
Yeah.
Never quite plays for me.
I mean, a movie's made when it's made. I don't think the prequels really have that dated of a look to it, but then again, I'm trying to remember the last time I watched them.
It's been years, several years for me, and they felt dated at the time.
Like, I mean, no one was doing anything like that when he put those out.
True.
And then I recently saw the Blue People movie, I can't remember.
Oh, Avatar.
Avatar. And that didn't look that much better than Phantom Menace, honestly. I mean, it looked like dudes and cartoons. I mean, it was pretty much.
I should revisit that one. It's been a couple of years.
It was an aughts version of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, really. Meets Braveheart.
I have a write-up on the site called Big was it
Oh, that's
Big
right.
Blue
Big Blue
Twinkie.
Twinkie.
Yeah. It's
Oh,
fun while you're watching it, but you kind of feel a little guilty afterwards.
well, the entire time I'm watching, I'm like, and people gave George Lucas shit for what he did?
Yeah, true,
And this
true.
movie got like Oscar love? What the fuck? That doesn't make any sense. But anyway, back
Back
to
to Bystanders. This movie has possibly one of the creepiest things I've ever seen in a film.
Donald Sutherland with the mustache and afro.
Oh, well, that's close. That's close.
Porn star Donald Sutherland.
And a young Jeff Goldblum was close too, because that was weird. But no, there's a shot early on, and it's one of the cameos. There are several cameos in the film. This one is of Robert Duvall as a random priest on a swing set, and it's just a shot of him in priest vestments on a swing set that goes nowhere. There's no point to it. There's
Right.
no reason for it.
I don't get it.
It's just incredibly creepy.
What was the wait, what was the thinking behind that? Well,
No idea.
we got Kilgore here.
And he's pretty much looking dead at the camera too.
Yes.
Some of the other cameos. Kevin McCarthy, who played Miles Bennell in the original, in the 56 version, makes a brief appearance as the guy running down the street yelling, "They're coming, they're coming."
Right. I did like the that use of cameos.
The original film's director, Don Siegel, is the cab driver who takes them, who drives Matthew and Elizabeth, Brooke Adams and Sutherland's characters later in the film.
Did you see the trivia?
Yeah, apparently his vision was going and he didn't want to wear his glasses in that scene, and it was at night, so they were legit scared when they filmed that.
The panic was real.
Yeah.
That is so funny. Because they thought he was going to kill them all.
This film's director has dual roles. He's the man wearing a hat who bothers Sutherland's character in a phone booth. I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
And the voice of one of the officials that he speaks to on the phone.
Which also, that whole montage of him receiving calls did not make any sense.
No.
Like,
Especially given how much they'd taken over by that point.
how were these people called? Well, that was the deal. They knew where he was and who he
Well, yeah.
was and everything. I don't know how they would know that over the phone and shit. Because, I mean, if they're reading thoughts and stuff and they knew where he was at all times.
They couldn't read thoughts because they couldn't chase him down. He hid under
Exactly.
a dock.
Exactly. Yet he could call and they'd be like, "Hello, Hawkeye."
Just two more cameos, because this is one of the most cameo-rich movies I've ever known about, heard about.
Yeah.
The director's wife, Rose Kaufman, has a small role as a woman who argues with Goldblum's character at a book release party.
Oh.
Another random pointless scene that went nowhere.
Goldblum's best part of it, though. Yeah, there is a lot that could be trimmed from this movie, and it feels like we were kind of in the zone with doing this. I don't know how many weeks in a row now.
And the cinematographer Michael Chapman appears twice as a janitor in the health department. Don't remember him. He's the only one I don't remember.
But out of the movies we've done since the last two, at least, this has the least that can be trimmed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, what have we learned in the last two? Of course, we're about killing at least an hour of each movie. This, at most, I would take 20 minutes off. At
And I
most,
don't even
that's
know
a
if I'd take that
stretch.
much.
Yeah, I know, and that's absolute maximum because then you'd start, damaging the integrity of the plot.
I think the beginning was detrimental to the suspense.
Right.
There are some random pointless cameos, probably just crowbarred in for the cameos.
I would keep the cameos in, though, because they're fucking
Well,
hilarious.
that's true. That's true. Definitely keep the priest.
Well, I don't know.
The woman arguing, I guess that is a good scene for Goldblum.
It probably could have been lost,
Yeah,
though.
yeah. But
Really, what could be cut out of here is the weird pseudo love story going on.
oh, I have in my notes, and I don't reference this meme often, but unnecessary romantic subplot is unnecessary.
Right.
Because, okay, Elizabeth, Brooke Adams' character, is in a relationship, possibly married. It's indetermined.
I don't think she's married. I think they're just kind of living together.
Okay. But Sutherland is constantly hitting on her despite this.
Yes.
And, her husband gets taken by the pod people.
Gets taken out of the way.
And then, toward the end of the movie, they finally kiss and it becomes a thing. And then she shows up topless trying to entice him into joining the pod people.
They kiss at the weirdest time.
Yeah.
Like they're surrounded, they're should be focusing on staying alive, and instead they start kissing for like just
Yeah.
because they're close. And then the whole topless thing, well, she's actually naked.
Oh, yeah, that's true, that's true. You'd only see her breasts at first. Because she had just emerged from the pod.
Right.
Very quickly, too. Incidentally, one of the worst effects in the film, the head caving in.
Oh.
It was very. It reminded me of Land of Confusion a bit.
One of the spitting image weapons.
Yeah.
Really, the ending of this movie had been ruined for me, because there's a very popular internet
Yes.
gif of Donald Sutherland.
And I've seen that countless times,
Because it's funny as hell.
but I never connected it. I was surprised. I was very pleasantly surprised by the ending. Because it doesn't have a happy ending, and I have issues with happy endings, as we've probably talked about.
Well, not if you didn't have to pay much for it.
I
But.
shouldn't have laughed at that.
Oh,
This will be
okay.
one of those nights.
Yeah.
Now, there was one scene that I have to really shout out for positive reasons. The scene in the bathhouse, or not bathhouse, mud bath.
Yes.
Very Kubrick.
Oh, yeah.
Goldblum walks in, and it's got this kind of, classically music, and it's lit very Kubrick and really nicely done. Also, they did a really interesting pseudo kind of sort of swerve with Nimoy's character. Got to point out, this is part two of our tribute to Nimoy that we interrupted with the possibly ill-advised April Fool's Day
Oh, it
gag
was
last
definitely
week.
ill-advised. There's no doubt about that. Western email or no Western email. We took it on the chin last week. Are you kidding?
But anyway, this is a part two of our tribute to Nimoy, and I like the kind of pseudo swerve they did. Because at first I was thinking, okay, he's a bad guy. Then I started to think about it and realized, wait, he's just being skeptical and kind of realistic. That's how someone is particularly a scientist, a doctor, would react in this situation.
True.
And I kind of started to think, okay, maybe he's not a villain, and then he was a villain.
I like that he acted like McCoy.
Yeah, effectively.
Spock acting like McCoy.
So I was really surprised, again, pleasantly surprised, when he turned out to be a pod person.
I love this cast.
Oh, yeah.
It's just such a good cast. I mean, it's been a while, probably. Well, Donnie Darko and Mother's Milk aside, it's been a while since we've seen a cast this good, right? However, I wish they had more to do.
I can't really. I sound like I'm being hard on the movie. I actually really enjoyed it. There were just certain issues I had with it, particularly in the scene where they suddenly all kind of figured out, specifically the two women put it all together and figure out that they're alien pods.
Right.
And the one who really pieces it together analogizes to ancient aliens. She's a crackpot who believes in ancient aliens, but she's one of the ones who figures out what's going on.
Yeah.
I was a little upset by that.
I mean, from the very beginning, there are all these false starts, things that, oh, I didn't see you behind me kind of things that, I mean, because there really isn't any tension. It's just all so contrived from the beginning, And then it feels like they spend a good portion of the film telling us how ridiculous the film's plot is.
Well, that's mostly Nimoy's job in the film,
Right.
is to just
What?
poke holes in it.
It isn't just Nimoy that does it. The girlfriends do it.
Well, that's true.
Goldblum does it here and there. I mean, what? Like, there's some plant aliens that here replicating humans? How ridiculous is that?
And it's been speculated that this was either a sequel or a parody of the original film for that reason.
And I mean, yeah, if this were a comedy, I mean, there would have been jokes. There would have been more irony into it. But I don't think this was. I think this was an actual statement. They just didn't bring a script. They just used the old plot to move this along and didn't bother with dialogue and whatnot.
I think I enjoyed it just because of the cast. It was just fun to watch all of these people do their thing.
It was enjoyable to watch them do their thing.
And there was another nice I won't quite call it a swerve, but it was an interesting questionable moment. When was Belichick, Goldblum's character, replaced? Because they're all running away from, the mob of pod people. And he says he's going to go get help and
It
runs
was
off
after
on his
that.
own. Are you sure? Maybe that's why he ran off.
No. Because, I mean, they wouldn't have gone after him.
True, they aren't really that organized to know that that was part of the a trick.
Yeah, and he
Yeah,
was
okay.
exhibiting too much emotion
Yeah,
still.
okay. I thought maybe that was part of the plan to get them all captured.
It wasn't until he comes back. I would have
And they
liked
made it
it.
obvious.
I would have liked it if they discover that the being replicated was a good thing. That they like, wait a minute, this is better. What the fuck?
Well, no, because another part of the message of this movie is the value of being human, which, you know,
Right, of course.
having emotion and all of that good stuff.
Yeah. You need the good love and violence.
Now, there was a shot I have to shout out. One particular scene, I'll call it a scene more than a shot,
Okay.
because it just begs for MST3K. There's a shot of all of these pod people carrying these pods off of a truck, very like basically carrying them like their children, because they effectively are.
Right.
I just would love to hear what, you know, Crow would have to say about that scene.
I don't know, something about homes and gardens. I don't know.
Now onto another effect shot I have to criticize. The dog that Danny mentioned.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that either.
That one got spoiled for me.
Yeah.
Because I was doing an image search to try to get a sh to do the album art for this week, to get a shot of the flower.
Yeah.
And I didn't specifically search flower, I just searched Invasion of the Body Snatchers on an image search, and obviously the shot of Sutherland came up, but it still didn't spoil it for me. But I saw the dog. And it looked cheesy in a still photo, it looked even worse in the movie.
I was trying to figure out how that would have happened.
Yeah, that too. Because they don't combine before. I mean, she mentions that the plant looks like a hybrid of two plants.
Right.
But aside from that, they don't, they either do human or plant. They don't
They
mix.
haven't crossed species until they went from plant to human.
Right. So why would they be doing a half dog, half human
Why
hybrid?
would they do a dog?
Well, yeah, what would be the purpose of a dog, for one thing?
Right. Unless, they wanted to stop them from peeing on them. I don't get it.
And a lot of these criticisms might go back to the original film, might go back to the book. It's based on a book called The Body Snatchers by Jack Finney. So, you know, it might be a little unfair to dock this version for a lot of these things.
Well, I think that's the point I was making with the with mind control versus replicating, that sometimes you need to let go of the original material if there's a
Yeah.
better way of doing something.
Although I think going that route would really, it wouldn't be Body Snatchers. It
Yeah,
would be a different property at that point.
they've taken over the body.
Oh. Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, just one last bit of trivia, because I want to shout this out just because I would have been curious about it if I hadn't read it ahead of time. The leather half glove that Nimoy's character wears was deliberately used for the sole purpose of making the character look distinctive and recognizable. Nimoy got the idea from a friend who wore it to cover a burn on his hand.
Ah,
Kind
Nimoy.
of looks like an archery glove.
Yeah, it does. It does. We haven't really discussed the ultimate climactic
Okay.
battle scene.
Yeah. So everybody gets taken except for Goldblum's girlfriend, or possibly wife,
And Matthew
Matthew,
Bunnell.
Sutherland, and Brooke Adams, Elizabeth. Then they get separated. Bunnell and Elizabeth are captured, managed to get away by, what was it again?
Well, anyway, though, Bunnell gets into this nursery thing.
They get away, meet up again. We see the dog. The dog oddly doesn't faze the girlfriend, Goldblum's girlfriend. The other two scream and run away because they've been caught. They find this nursery, and she'd already been taken by this point, I think.
And
Elizabeth.
yeah, this is just such a anticlimactic climax. I mean, they have so many nice effects, but then this whole thing about power lines getting cut down and exploding and starting fires.
He destroys the greenhouse by cutting these lines in the catwalk.
Yeah. They kind of ran out of budget, it felt like.
Well, he
And
had to
then.
destroy the plants, the pods, for some reason, even though there were plenty of other pods and who knows how many other greenhouses there were in the world at that point.
And then, though, some of the worst action that we've seen in a while, where he gets rushed by an unarmed guy. He's got an axe in his hand. He drops the axe. I'm just watching this. He had an axe, and he dropped it. Instead of using it as a weapon against the dude who was unarmed, who was rushing him. And then we have these very cheesy, I use air quotes, explosions.
The explosion, you're talking about the greenhouse?
Yes,
I
these
didn't mind
flames
them.
just shooting in the air.
They didn't make a lot of sense, but
Very
okay.
controlled flames that looked like they were a giant Bunsen burner setting them all up. Especially in the distance where there were like four or five even flames in the air. It's
Funny
like,
thing is,
oh
I'm agreeing with you, but I didn't notice it at the time. It didn't bother me. In hindsight,
no.
you're right.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Well, that's the problem. That's supposed to be like the climax. It's the battle, you know. It's the good versus evil, you know.
Also, they spend a lot of time running after him, and it's really unclear how they know who he is. Because sometimes he walks right past them and they don't know him.
Well, right, and that
Other
didn't make any
times,
sense either. They
he's
could.
hiding because they'll know him by sight, but they can't sense him for some reason. They're 2 feet away. They just can't see him.
And they couldn't see in the dark. I mean, just none of it made any sense. And yeah, that's it for my notes now.
All right, on to sequels and remakes. Of course, we have the 56 original, and another version from 93, which is the one I've seen parts of, and the 2000 version called The Invasion. The 93 was called Body Snatchers. Apparently, a lot of them like to take portions of the title. Actually, the original book was just called The Body Snatcher, so I guess the 93 one is closest.
Oh, there's a 1945 version
There is.
called The Body Snatcher.
Okay, that's not the same idea, because the novel was 56.
It's different, yeah.
Okay.
It's a doctor finding themselves stealing cadavers.
Okay, maybe that's where Finney, the author, got the name from.
Disappointing because that Boris
Ooh. I want to see
Karloff.
that. All right, on to brains.
On to brains.
I was a lot higher when before we started this episode. But you make a lot of good points about the issues with the movie. Still, I liked it. I'm gonna go three.
I'm right there with you. I'm at three brains myself, and really, it's mostly for the cast and the effects until they got to the end. It just needed a script. It needed something to. It needed an engine. It was a lot of nice, pretty things and comfortable things, but it had nothing driving.
All right, so what have we learned?
We learned that Spock needs a better stylist.
And I learned what a Grex is. It turns out it's an actual thing. All right, so until next time, when we'll be beginning our I won't call it a trilogy because we will probably get a Wolf Cop in there, so a quadrilogy of requests, starting with Cabin in the Woods. Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to. Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, and YouTube. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. Also, if you enjoyed the show, spread the word. Give us a little word of mouth. Of course, we appreciate all the listeners that we have, but more would be better.
And just keep the notebook last week's episode quiet.
I don't know. I think it's kind of entertaining.
It was pretty damn funny.
Well, the gag is funny, but also I think the episode was pretty entertaining. We
Yes,
rip it
yes.
apart.
Yeah.
We're always better when we hate a movie.
Yeah, that's true.
You'll also find the movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far, and every movie we're going to review. I think we've got four or five slated. The requests, which were all marked, and I think maybe one or two after that. I think Khan is the last on the list.
Yeah.
The request form, if you've got a movie you'd like to hear us review, please leave it on the request form or email it to us, either way. And of course, the rec list. I was prepared to put this on the rec list before we started talking about it. But yeah, you're right. It just has a few too many flaws. You can email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1, or for the alphanumerical challenge,
Replicant can
414-368.
go fuck himself.
368-9861. Always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee, and of course, until next time, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there
there
you
you
are.
Are.
Look, I don't know where they're coming from, but I know I feel as though I've been poisoned today.
This is just the same. Of course, this is just the same way those rocket ships landed thousands of years ago, so spacemen could mate with monkeys and apes and create zombie takeout.